It's a thrill, brethren, to stand here this evening and see this great audience of priesthood filling this sacred tabernacle. Having had the privilege of presiding as the presiding bishop of the church for 14 years, and thus the president of the Aaronic priesthood, I'm thrilled to see all of the boys of the Aaronic priesthood here tonight, and I imagine that'll be true in the other buildings where the priesthood are listening in. We're all thrilled as we go through the church to find the wonderful attitude the saints have toward President Kimball, and particularly in the emphasis that he's giving on missionary work. And you'll know that he has indicated that every boy should be a missionary. I think of when I was a young man, before I was even ordained a deacon, I went to one of our ward meetings in the little country town where I was raised, and two missionaries reported their mission down in the southern states. In those days, they traveled without purse or scrip, and they had to sleep out many nights when they couldn't get entertainment. I don't know whether they said anything unusual that night or not, but if they didn't, the Lord did something unusual for me, because when I left that meeting, I felt like I could have walked to any mission field in the world if I just had a call. And I went home, went in my little bedroom, and got down on my knees and asked the Lord to help me to live worthy so when I was old enough, I could go on a mission. And when the train finally left the station here in Salt Lake and I was headed for the little land of Holland, the last thing I said to my loved ones, "This is the happiest day of my life." Before I left on that mission, President Anthony H. Lund, who was then a counselor in the first presidency of the church, talked to us missionaries. And he said, among other things, he said, "The people will love you." Now, he said, don't get lifted up in the pride of your hearts and think that they love you because you're better than other people. They will love you because of what you bring to them. I didn't understand that then. But before I left the little land of Holland, where I spent nearly 3 years, I knew what Brother Lund meant. I went around telling the saints goodbye and my converts that I'd brought into the church, and I shed 1,000 tears as compared to what I did when I told my loved ones goodbye. For instance, over in Amsterdam, I went in a home where I'd been the first missionary there, and the little mother looking up into my face and the tears rolling down her cheeks, she said, "Brother Richards, it was hard to see my daughter leave for Zion a few months ago, but it's much harder to see you go." I had been the first missionary in that home. Then I thought I could understand what Brother Lund meant when he said they will love you. I went to tell a man goodbye who stood erect in the uniform of his country. With a little Dutch beard, he got down on his knees and took my hand in his and hugged it and kissed it and bathed it with his tears. And then I thought I could understand what Brother Lund meant when he said they will love you. And I like a little story that President Grant used to tell about the love that converts have for their missionaries. He told about a couple that came here from one of the Scandinavian countries. They hadn't been taught much about the gospel. All they knew was that it was true. And so the bishop went to this couple and taught them the law of tithing, and he paid his tithing. Then later the bishop went to him and taught him about the fast offering. He paid his fast offering. And then the bishop went to him again to get a donation to help build a ward meeting house. He thought that ought to come out of the tithing. But before the bishop got through with him, he paid his donation on the meeting house. Then the bishop went to him to get his son to go on a mission. Now I can hear President Grant standing here and saying, that is the straw that breaks the camel's back. The man said he's our only child. His mother can't miss him. We can't let him go. Then the bishop countered, Brother so-and-so, who do you love in this world more than anyone else outside of your own relatives? And he thought for a few minutes. He said, I guess I love that young man who came up to the land of the midnight sun and taught me the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the bishop countered, Brother so-and-so, how would you like someone to love your boy just like that? The man said, Bishop, you win again. Take him, he said. I'll pay for his mission. Now, you fathers, how would you like someone to love your boys just like that man loved that boy who came up to the land of the midnight sun? I heard a missionary up in Oregon giving his report. He himself was a convert to the church, and he came down with his fist on the pulpit, and he said, I wouldn't take a check tonight for $1 million for the experience of my mission. I sat back of him, and I said to myself, would you take $1 million for your first mission in the little land of Holland? And I began counting the families that I'd been instrumental in bringing into the church. What kind of a man would I be if I were to sell them out of the church for $1 million? Not for all the money in this world. The other night I sat in my little study in my apartment and began reminiscing, and I counted 10 families that I'd been instrumental in bringing the church, and I've lived long enough to see their sons go on mission. I checked with just one of those families here just a few years back when I had to give a talk about the Brigham Young University at a banquet for the Indians, and at that time there were 153 direct descendants out of that one family alone. 35 of them had filled full-term missions, and 4 of them had done state missionary work. 35 filled full-term missions, and if you gave them 2 years apiece, that would be 70 years of missionary service out of that one family, without counting all the converts that their converts had made. And then one family kept 2 Indian children in their home. One a boy they kept for 8 years, and he was then in the mission field, and they were paying for his mission. When my companion and I brought that family into the church, we couldn't look ahead 70 years and see what would become of them. I checked with another family. They couldn't give me details, but they said when grandfather died, there were 150 direct descendants in the church. At that time, 5 of them were serving as bishops. And I went over these 10 families in my mind the other day, and I could recount to you here the job they fill, thinking of the words of Jesus when he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. What do you suppose I could have done during those few years of my young manhood that would have laid away treasures in heaven like the years I spent over there among those Dutch people? I have some of them that I love almost like my own family that are already passed on, that I look forward to being able to meet when my time comes to join that innumerable group. Now, I've labored so much with the missionaries. I've been on 4 missions and presided over 2 and toured many missions. And you hear those young men bear their testimony. For instance, another young man up in Oregon in our testimony meeting, he said that he wouldn't, there wasn't a company in this world that could pay him enough salary to get him to leave his missionary work. And there he'd been in the armed forces and away from home for several years, and then back into the mission field. I had a letter here just last week from a missionary from up in Idaho, and I copied a little paragraph from it. I'd like to read it to you. He said this, "There is no greater work than that of missionary work. My mission has been the most rewarding undertaking in my entire 27 years of life. My life is dedicated to serving the Lord. My heart is overflowing, as are the tears of joy that are now coming from my eyes. There is nothing so wonderful, nothing as tasting the joy and success of missionary labors." I had a young missionary come in to visit with me as he returned from the Argentine. I knew his people back in Washington, and he had been kept over to help train some of the other missionaries until he'd been away from home for 3 years. And I said, "Craig, do you feel like it was a waste of time to be in the mission field, that you ought to have been home getting your education, getting ready to settle down?" He said, "Now listen, Bishop, if the brethren want to make me happy, just let them load me on the plane in the morning and send me back to the Argentine." You can't buy that kind of feeling in the hearts of young people with money. The Lord who creates the feelings of the human breast is the only one who can put that kind of faith into the hearts of his people. Is this red now? Is my time to quit? I think they got the red button on here, and I mustn't indulge on the other man's time. Brethren, after all the missionary service I've had, I wouldn't want to raise a boy and not have him go on a mission for his good, and because I think we owe so much to the world to share with them the truths of the gospel. And one way to make sure that your boys will go on missions, start a missionary fund for them and let them keep adding to it, and they'll be on their missions from the time that they're young boys. For instance, down in California, I went to a ward, and the bishop has a program of giving to each boy when he's ordained a deacon $15 out of the missionary fund. Then they ask the father to match it, and then they check with him. Every time he's interviewed, they check on his missionary fund and when he's ordained a teacher. And I figured on a percentage basis, if every ward in the church had as many missionaries in the field as that ward, we'd have 55,500 missionaries. So I provided in my family that every male child who hasn't been on a mission has a missionary fund, so he'll know that he's on his mission from the time he's a boy. God bless you all, and may we not disappoint our great leader in sending all of our boys on missions. I pray and leave you my blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.